out this morning, the kids had the morning news show on. Brian Campbell was talking about the fighting in Lebanon. Some senator was squawking about the bad economy. It's gonna get worse, you see. Need a change in policy. There's a local paper rolled up in a rubber band. One more sad story's one more than I can stand. Just once, how I'd like to see the headline say, not much to print today, can't find nothing better to say. Because nobody robbed a liquor store on the lower part of town. Nobody OD'd, nobody burned a single building down. Nobody fired a shot in anger, nobody had to die in vain. Sure could use a little good news today. Come home this evening, I bet that the news will be the same. Somebody takes a hostage, somebody steals a plane. How I want to hear the anchorman talk about a county fair and how we cleaned up the air, how everybody learned to care. Oh, tell me, no. A little good news today. Nobody robbed a liquor store on the lower part of town. Nobody OD'd, nobody burned a single building down. Nobody fired a shot in anger, nobody had to.
In your wildest dreams, my friends. Absolute wildest dreams. It's Monday. Good evening. Welcome to the Edge of Darkness. It was a interesting moment over the weekend when I came across that song, and I hadn't heard it in so long. And I watched and listened to several different versions of it. And the versions don't change. Anne Murray's voice never changed. But the videos that I saw were different. But the story doesn't change. So much of what she sang about in this continues to go on and on and on and on. And how long ago did she do that song? 1970s? I sit there and look at these headlines. And they just keep banging up on us. Pieces I've been publishing all weekend, still publishing a half an hour ago on various websites. One entitled The Continuation of the Biden BS. How Americans in 13 states could be taxed up to $1,100 on Biden's student loan relief plan. How the White House is facing mounting legal challenges to the new scheme. And that's what it is, a scheme. Guy's trying to buy votes, everything he does. His student loan relief plan could trigger up to $1,100 in state-level taxes in at least 13 different states because the $10,000 to $20,000 in forgiveness could count toward an individual's income when actually filing their taxes. And those states include Idaho, Minnesota, Wisconsin, New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia, Kentucky, Massachusetts, South Carolina, Mississippi, Arkansas, and Hawaii. Some of the states with the largest poverty levels, including Arkansas, West Virginia, and Mississippi, are among the states where individuals and couples could see increased tax burdens due to the student loan forgiveness. Step one. And then you go up here and it never ends. Team Biden's phony accusations and claims about the student loans. Drastically underestimating the cost of blaming Republicans for hypocrisy, the White House is flailing. Joey's being awfully generous with our money, folks. His student loan forgiveness scheme is the biggest news of the week. And we've covered it. Today we want to focus on two things, costs and hypocrisy, but we're not going to spend a lot of time with it. You know, but below the full details were loaned, the Penn-Wharton budget model estimated the cost of Biden's plan to be between $300 billion and $980 billion over the 10-year budget window. And then Biden increased the giveaway to $20,000 for many recipients, which will, of course, increase our costs, our debt. This is unbelievable. The White House officials have gone out of their way to avoid answering the question of costs, which means that all of this remains to be determined. It's going to be a function of what percentage of eligible borrowers actually take up this opportunity. That, according to domestic policy advisor Susan Rice, I didn't even know she was still around. She says if 43 million borrowers take it up, that'll be different than if 50% of those 43 million take it up. And it never ends. And it doesn't stop. Oh, Joey wants to bail out those saddled with the college debt to the tune of 10 grand each, maybe more. And there are those who say he is doing it to buy votes. Congress is questioning the expensive bailout. They're supposed to control the purse strings, not the so-called president. And yet the Democrat-controlled Congress may go along because they're also looking for a spark going into the midterms. Not right for Joey to attempt to buy votes, but he's a crook. We've all grown accustomed to his outrages. Expecting taxpayers and those who've already paid off their college loans to bail out those still saddled with college debt doesn't exactly smack of fairness. I mean, why not simply just give all of us 10 grand, huh? Inflation's already out of control, and so Joey might as well go full Zimbabwe, according to Ben Garrison. That's a lot. That's a lot, my friends. You talk about Joey being a liar and a crook. I published a piece, an hour or so ago on Federal Observer, and I've not stopped. I have, you cannot believe the hours, the time that I put in over this weekend, posting on site after site after site. I don't know what it's all about, but it's come out the FBI, and if you remember this past Friday, we did an exceedingly intense discussion about the FBI. It appears now that the proof is coming out that the FBI did run interference for Joey's son, Hunter. And I couldn't believe I had this image in my catalog. Hunter Biden, Joey standing next to him, look like he's brain dead. Hillary's standing back there. Kamala wanna swallow. Some other folks. And Hunter's saying, "Dude, where's my laptop?" Yeah, you see, recent whistleblower allegations have made it abundantly clear that the FBI did sit on Hunter's laptop and thereby helped rig the 2020 election in favor of his daddy. And the more we learn from an ever-growing cadre of FBI whistleblowers, the more disgusted we are by what the Bureau has become. They have become a state security force for the Democratic Party. And the FBI slow-walked its investigation into Hunter Biden's laptop. That according to the Washington Examiner. Including telling some bureau employees not to look at the hard drive belonging to Joey's son. That according to reported whistleblower disclosures made public by a top Senate Republican. Interesting, huh? That Republican was Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, a ranking member of the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, who sent a letter to the Department of Justice Inspector General Michael Horowitz on Tuesday of last week about these new whistleblower claims. Following disclosures made public last month that the Bureau had wrongly labeled the contents of Hunter's abandoned laptop as disinformation in 2020. Oh, and here, let's not forget about the more than 50 former senior intelligence yes men who permanently shredded their ostensibly good names by signing a letter in which they disingenuously claimed that the New York Post's blockbuster story about Hunter's laptop had all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation. No, let's not forget them. Especially not John Brennan or James Clapper or Mike Hayden or Mike Morrell, nor any of their trucklings. But we digress for a moment. Let me share with you a telling passage of Johnson's letter to I.G. Horowitz. I.G. Horowitz. Oh, Inspector General. Okay. Why all that nonsense? Johnson's letter states, "Recently, my office heard from individuals with knowledge of the FBI's apparent corruption. And after the FBI obtained the Hunter Biden laptop from the Wilmington DE computer shop, these whistleblowers stated that local FBI leadership told employees, quote, you will not look at that Hunter Biden laptop. And then the FBI is, quote, not going to change the outcome of the election again. Furthermore, the letter goes on. These whistleblowers allege that the FBI did not begin to examine the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop until after the 2020 presidential election, potentially a year after the FBI obtained the laptop, December of 2019. Clearly, the Bureau's corrupt leadership learned a lesson from the failure of former Director James Comey, who, just before the 2016 presidential election, tried to thread a needle by admonishing Hillary Clinton for her unlawful use of a private email server while meticulously avoiding the use of any language that would hold her criminally accountable. And so nearly 3 years later, when Hunter's laptop was presented to the FBI in December of 19, a full 9 months before the election, the 2020 election, the Bureau's leadership refrained from giving Hunter the kid glove treatment that they gave to Hillary in 2016. No, instead, they simply buried the evidence. And instead, they went all in to protect candidate Joey and put their finger on the scale of the 2020 election. No, my friends, the ghost of the Venezuelan dictator Hugo Chavez did not commandeer our nation's Dominion voting machines. But the 2020 election was still rigged six ways until Sunday. And the FBI, our Federal Bureau of Investigation, they were neck deep in it. Shameful, despicable, outrageous. Words fail. And yet elsewhere in matters regarding the deeply disturbed Biden crime family, two Florida residents pleaded guilty recently in federal court in New York City to having stolen the diary and other possessions of Joe Biden's daughter, Ashley, and selling them to the conservative watchdog group Project Veritas during the final weeks of the 2020 presidential election. And so you see, my friends, the diary is real, which means its contents are real. And those contents include entries accusing Joe of taking inappropriate showers with his daughter. Are those allegations true? Only Joe and Ashley Biden know, but the very thought of it is deeply creepy. Normally, this wouldn't be news, given the Sniffer-in-Chief's well-known tendencies toward young women, but the FBI went to extraordinary lengths to recover this diary. Even searching the private homes and offices of Project Veritas and raiding the New York home of founder James O'Keefe. Which reminds us, we're still waiting for the FBI to raid Hunter Biden's house. And waiting. And waiting. And waiting. Oh, and let's not forget the involvement that Joe Biden and his son have been involved with in Ukraine. There's dirty stuff going on. A little good news today. My assets. Keep on dreaming, people. I'm looking for an article that's disappeared on me. Just bear with me a second. I've got a couple of different directions to take this program today, and there's a lot to cover. So bear with me. Break today? I don't know, man. I can't tell you that right now. Unbelievable. I tell you, a lot of the stuff that I published over the weekends, I published a piece on Saturday that I found quite interesting. I'm not going to share it with you, but it starts talking about white liberals succeeding in brainwashing Americans into ignorance. Oh, gee, is that right? So, we published a damn nice piece written by Paul Craig Roberts. It's very rare that I go to Roberts for a lot of reasons I won't share with you. A little bit of historical stuff in here. But the title alone is well worth reading. Because Americans have been brainwashed into ignorance, my friends. That's sad. Amazingly sad. A follow-up to our commentary a few minutes ago about the FBI. A piece that I think I did on Thursday or Friday. I've lost track of days. It's not important. The FBI's Gestapo tactics. Hallmarks of an authoritarian regime. And when you think about the piece we just shared with you about Joe Biden, I would strongly urge you to read and study this piece on Federal Observer about the FBI's Gestapo tactics. It fits like a damn glove, and that's appalling to me. Another new article by Lee Dugan called It's Getting Confusing. In there, he talk about Chinese Slow Joe. Yeah, Chinese Slow Joe. It fits. Or is it Chinese Brain Dead Joe? It doesn't matter anymore. It's appalling. Several other pieces about vaccines. I put it under the header, it'll never end. And this just, I'm not going to say it shocked me. The FDA has now authorized an updated COVID-19 booster shot for newer Omicron strains without completed human tests. That's right, they've been authorized by the Food and Drug Administration. And they're going to be available to most Americans before human testing has ever been completed. And the shots have been modified to target the latest Omicron variant, but won't have finished testing in the humans when the FDA makes the decision. No, instead, the FDA is relying on data from other sources like research in mice and older vaccines. And this has even been reported in the Wall Street Journal. It's interesting as I posted this. I, of course, go looking for images and found one in Federal Observer I forgot that I had. A cartoon, a so-called teacher standing at a green chalkboard. And she's doing her chalk and doing this, that, and the other thing. And the comment on the image was, there were no TV commercials for the vax in the U.S. because by law, they have to list the side effects. Fact check that, people. Think about it. Then, of course, I came across a strange little headline. A trifecta. A man has snagged a bat stew flu, the monkey pox, and HIV in one bromantic weekend. 36-year-old man told doctors he'd had two doses of the Pfizer vaccine, which we know doesn't keep people from contracting the Hong Kong flu, but he did not use condoms, which we know can prevent HIV, while he was enjoying a sex fest in Spain between June the 16th and 20th. Now, the Journal of Infection reported that the patient tested positive for HIV-1, and given his preserved CD4-plus lymphocyte count, we could assume that the infection was relatively recent. And by the way, it was always the second time this double vax guy had contracted COVID-19, the first being in January of 2022. He tested negative for HIV in September 2021 and positive for syphilis in 2019. Well, he's a busy guy. I'll be seeing you in all your familiar places. Sickening. Well, there's some people that are finally beginning to get it. The immigration crisis, or invasion crisis, as I call it in America, is just unbelievable. We've had just under 5 million unauthorized border crossings since Joe Biden took office. 3.4 million unauthorized crossings just since January of 2021. A record 2 million crossings so far in 2021 to 2022. Well, wait a minute. That makes it 5.4 million. 900,000 undetected crossings. How can they say they're undetected if they can pick a number at it? I can't figure that out. Texas has bussed 8,000 migrants to D.C. and New York City. That's kind of cool. July of this year alone, we've had just under 200,000 encounters. 134,362 single adults, 51,822 families, and 13,299 unaccompanied minors. I question the families portion. 66 people on the FBI terror watch list were caught at the border in 2021 and 2022. So we sit here with these unauthorized immigrants. If 73% of them have jobs, they earn about 40% less per hour than a U.S. born. 50 to 75% of them pay taxes. 0.52% are entrepreneurs compared to 0.26% U.S. born. Take a look at the insanity of how it's affecting these cities. In New York City, 4,000 asylum seekers since May. Busloads more sent from Texas, hundreds housed in luxury hotels. We talked about that last week. Crime is up. ICE and officials fight over the transfer of undocumented immigrants. Don't call them migrants. They're invaders. In Los Angeles, safe haven for criminals. Foreign gangs travel there to rob homes. 5% of 11,000 undocumented invaders sought by ICE. 11,000 of them. were handed over in 2019 in Chicago. The lawless hellscape. Shootings are the norm. Murders are up, arrests are down. 88 illegals with criminal records, including murder, arrested in ICE raids in 2020. You go to Philadelphia, you know what that place is, the city of brotherly love, where even the brothers don't love each other. Woke politicians in Philadelphia are soft on crime policies, make it a magnet for criminal aliens. The city refuses to detain undocumented migrants with assault, terror threat, and robbery records. Of course, then you take a trip all the way out far west to San Francisco. The city shields criminal immigrants from prosecution, including a man who tried to rob a family of 18 at gunpoint. And the ICE requests for alleged spies and killers to be handed over are denied. This is pure insanity, people. All I've done was share with you is the commentary off this massive graphic I've posted over at federalobserver.com. America's immigration crisis is being laid bare. This is an in-depth analysis. And immigration watchdogs say that nearly 4.9 unauthorized immigrants have entered this country since Biden took office. And they branded New York and L.A. as the country's most dangerous sanctuary cities. And the Federation for American Immigration Reform, or FAIR, says the record flow of people into this country since Biden inauguration includes 3.4 million crossings at the southwest border, 900,000 who slipped in there undetected. But there's still that question about the 900,000. Where did they come up with the number? Well, you see, this is what comes of it. The Department, the Drug Enforcement Administration, or DEA, has stated, the head of it states that Mexican cartels are using fentanyl to kill Americans in record numbers. Where the hell's the little good news today? Ann Milgram has issued this warning during an August 19th interview on CBS Mornings and cited two major drug cartels as the main driving forces behind the majority of fentanyl-related deaths in this country. And you sons of bitches, you helped cause the death of one of mine. She says, what we see happening at the DEA is essentially that there are two cartels in Mexico, the Sinaloa cartel and the Jalisco New Generation cartel, that are killing Americans with fentanyl at catastrophic and record rates like we have never seen before, she said. And those cartels are acting with calculated, deliberate treachery to get fentanyl to the U.S. and to get people to buy it through fake pills by hiding it in other drugs. Any means that they can take in order to drive addiction and to make money. CBS Mornings host Tony Docopil pointed to how drug dealing operations had changed in recent years. And before, dealers wanted to keep a person addicted, keep them paying money, but not kill them. The whole world of drugs has had changed, my friends. And it changed. I strongly urge you to go read this piece. Stick around. We'll be back after this break. Oh, I get to dance with Kim.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening live virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Obviously, money is the main reason for all the drugs, the control. The whole world of drugs has changed. They've laid down two key points to back up her claim when she spoke on CBS Mornings. First, the DEA administrator remarks that the fentanyl entering the U.S. is synthetic. The two cartels that are able to make an unlimited amount of money of unlimited amount of fentanyl, provided that they have precursor chemicals to manufacture them. And the cartels purchase these substances from chemical companies in China, bringing them to Mexico to synthesize massive quantities of the drug. And secondly, drug deals used to be conducted face-to-face with involved parties clandestinely meeting with each other and transacting in back alleys. But the advent of social media also brought the drug trade to the different social platforms and apps, and the apps where drug deals are ironed out, including Snapchat and WhatsApp. Law enforcement actively cracking down on fentanyl. And according to the figures of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, roughly 108,000 Americans died of drug overdoses in 2021. And yet the number is set to increase, my friends, if not for the vigilance of law enforcement in stamping out drug trafficking. And yet in one instance, Customs and Border Protection agents in Arizona intercepted a record cache of illegal drugs on August 20th of this year. A week ago. CPB members in the Grand Canyon state seized 1.57 million fentanyl pills and 114 pounds of cocaine hidden within secret compartments of a tractor trailer. And the vehicle was attempting to cross into Arizona from Mexico via the Mariposa port of entry in Nogales when CPB agents stopped it for inspection. And according to Michael W. Humphreys, the CPB or CBP area port director of the Nogales Mariposa port of entry, 250,000 colored fentanyl pills with the appearance of candy were among the drugs they seized. And this could be a start of a trend with transnational criminal organizations targeting younger users. Milgram reiterated her agency's continued drive against fentanyl and other illegal drugs that the cartels were illicitly distributing in the U.S. And right now, she said, we're actively investigating every single possible lead we can take. And we're looking very much at what we can do in this space. Our top priority, she said, is to defeat the two cartels because, to be really clear, there's an unlimited amount of drugs that they can make. And we've got to stop it before it comes from China to Mexico to the United States. We have to be aggressive on this. Well, that's pretty interesting, lady. So you see, we've got other issues going on with China we need to concentrate on. And we're not doing a goddamn thing about it. Do people just not get it? Did they just not get it? It is simply unbelievable. China. And yet we continue to allow China to supply Walmart with whatever the hell they need to sell. I don't go to Walmart's big stores. I go to the mini market. And I go there for one reason. To buy a few groceries. The guy that works up there that I like, that my granddaughter and I have been seeing on and off for years. I don't buy anything else in there. A little bit of food. Ain't none of it comes from China. Guarantee you that, boy. I go out of my way to stay out of the regular Walmart. I hate it. It's sad. And yet you go to the dollar stores and the Dollar Generals and everything else, and they're just as full of much chinky maze stuff as anybody else. It's unreal. A little good news today? Where? Where the hell is it coming from? I don't hear a lot of it. I got an interesting piece through my email today. I somehow got on their list recently. I know who they are. They're a very reliable company. I can't even think of who they are offhand. Consumer Affairs. This is the first piece that I've actually taken and decided to publish, and there's a reason for it. Because in this country today, we've got massive security issues. Huge security issues. And recently there's been a new identity theft study that says the U.S. has moved from pandemic to scamdemic. Now, I want to share this with you online, and I'm going to strongly urge you to go study it tonight and take advantage of the lessons we're about to learn. One of the final comments in the article I've chosen to move as a subheader: if anyone sends you a code from their side and asks you to read or send it back, it is an immediate scam. In its latest trend report, the Identity Theft Resource Center, or ITRC, says that for victims of identity crimes and compromises, fraud and scams have reached levels that have not been seen in the last 20 years, my friends. And they said that the biggest increases in the last year shook out like this. Reports from victims of non-financial account takeovers, a 235% increase over 2020. Social media account takeover, 1,044% increase over 2020. Maybe that's what happened to my Facebook account. I don't know. I don't even care. Secondly, identity misuse involving government credentials or accounts, 154% increase from 2019 and 20, and a 7% increase from 2020 to 2021. Now, it's simple. When it comes to the targets identity thieves are looking for, the three largest are public agency information, such as unemployment, the SBA or PPP loans, IRS information, financial information like your checking or savings accounts, your credit cards, and thirdly, medical accounts. Ava Velasquez, the president and CEO of the Identity Theft Resource Center, says that when we look back on 2021, it was a record-breaking year in so many different areas. We saw many different forms of identity crimes reach levels we had not seen since we were founded in 1999. And with high water marks for identity fraud, compromises, and misuse, it's important to take protective measures. Now, my friends, I'm going to give you some links in this article that you're going to be able to follow through. Okay? So here's the sad but true adventures of an identity thief. And the stories that have been told in its report from the ITRC are pretty sad. One tale of woe came from a victim who said someone tried to apply for a credit card with his child's personal information. The letter said they received a letter from the unemployment office under her deceased husband's name, and her husband had passed away 9 years earlier. And these ID thieves know no limits. An example of that, the ITRC said, came from a representative of a homeless shelter who called on a client's behalf. A client who was applying for food stamps but was denied because the unemployment office said they had received $10,000 in unemployment funds. And so experts are weighing in on how consumers can protect themselves against ID theft, identity theft. Because with all that people have to do in their daily lives, the last thing they probably want to spend time on is being vigilant. And to help readers focus on a manageable list of items, Consumer Affairs reached out to identity experts. They began talking with ITRC Chief Victims Officer Mona Terry for her number one recommendation. She says the first thing is keep your personal info to yourself. Do not share your personal information, particularly with someone you do not know well. Personal information includes your username and password, your debit and credit card numbers, identification documents, and even one-time passcodes. And be careful about public Wi-Fi. Be careful utilizing public Wi-Fi at coffee shops, public places. Use a virtual private network or VPN on all your devices to make you a harder target. That suggestion came from Christopher Sanders, president of the Palatin Group, a group intelligence and security firm. Next, use multi-factor authentication. The single most important way to protect against cyber threats is to use multi-factor authentication, or MFA. Daniel J. Siegel is the secretary in the law practice division at the American Bar Association, who said, by requiring users to not only log in, but also verify their identity by a second separate method, such as a texted code number, you will eliminate the overwhelming majority of threats. And many businesses, such as banks, will allow customers to create a code word for access. Studies show that MFA is the most effective means to protect your information. Next, monitor your credit score frequently. Daniel Markison, digital privacy expert at NordVPN, gave Consumer Affairs this tip. Monitor your credit score and use services that allow you to track different factors that influence your score over time. For example, when a scammer steals your identity to open new cards or loans in your name, and there's a lack of payment, your credit score will likely drop even when you have not made any credit errors yourself. So consider opting out of most pre-screened credit offers. Consumer Affairs credits Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton for this one. He suggests consumers who are tired of getting unsolicited creditor insurance offers, some of which may be identity thieves who steal mail, they can opt out of those mailings by calling 1-888-567-8688 or going to opt out pre-screen. That link is active in the article we've got published. That's the official consumer credit reporting industry website to accept and process these requests. Next, keep an eye out for Google Voice or Insta account takeover scams. Don't give verification codes out to anyone unless you specifically requested it through a login or other action. Those words from Joshua Pardee, a cybersecurity researcher at Arizona State University, and said that if anyone sends you a code from their side and asks you to read or send it back, then it is an immediate scam. Next, don't be shy about freezing your credit reports. Hari Ravichandran, founder and CEO at Aura, A-U-R-A, an online privacy safety service, offers this nugget when it comes to credit reports. One of the best ways to protect against this form of identity theft and protect your financial stability is to lock your credit to prevent criminals from using your stolen personal information against you. He continues by saying this is offered through all three major credit bureaus and certain software and can conveniently be switched on and off in order to allow approved third parties to access reports when needed. If you suspect that your personal information has been compromised in a data breach or otherwise, seriously consider freezing your credit in order to prevent bad actors from opening accounts or taking out loans in your name. Oh, and one of the most interesting suggestions is stop using weak passwords like your dog's name. Naftali Harris, founder and CEO of Centilink, said that even though a lot of the responsibility for preventing account takeovers and financial crimes lies with financial institutions, the public's got to pull its share of the load as well, you know. Using strong, unique passwords for all important services online, such as bank accounts and email and social media. Ideally, using a password manager. The Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, offers an excellent primer on how to create good passwords. People, don't just focus on money-related accounts. Because in addition to considering financial implications, you may want to review other types of accounts for misuse or misappropriation. That's suggestions from Jen Behrens, partner and executive VP of Privacy and Security at Kuma, K-U-M-A, LLC. She says this can include government identities like Social Security numbers, driver's license numbers, phone accounts, benefits. Medical identity theft and child identity theft are different types of fraud that can occur when your identity is stolen or require additional consideration for how to reduce potential negative impacts. Oh, and resist the click. When you receive a suspicious email, text, or a call, you may be the target of fraud. That's suggestions from Kerry O'Connor Kolaja, CEO of AU10Tix, a provider of fully automated identity verification technology. Do not click, respond, or share the message. screen for inconsistencies such as inaccurate or false information. Instead, reach out to the company or individual that contacted you to confirm their legitimacy. And no matter what happens, act quickly if your accounts are compromised. And this suggestion is from Jim Van Dyke, Senior VP of Innovation at Santik, a TransUnion company, who says one of the most important things consumers can do to protect themselves against financial fraud is to take appropriate action when their information is compromised in a data breach. As someone uniquely interested in data breaches, I monitor newly reported data breaches and trends. Recent observation shows the number, the severity of data breaches has spiked. Previously, the average was 5 to 7 breaches a day. Now it's 30. He goes on to say that in light of recent trends, one uncommon piece of advice for consumers who've had their medical account or patient data exposed is to review the safety of their medical information with the Medical Insurance Bureau. Similar to a credit report, consumers can verify the veracity of medical services provided, which may reveal medical ID crimes. The ITRC offers both consumers and victims free support and guidance from a knowledgeable live advisor. And that assistance is available by calling 888-400-5530 or visiting its live chat page, which we provided you the link for. This has been written and posted by Gary Guthrie for Consumer Affairs. So, for once, I come to the conclusion of a program by sharing some information with you that affects way too many people. And it costs way too many people. Earlier this year, I think, received an email from my bank. And it was absolutely on the money. Oh, it had their logo on it. It was exactly the kind of email I would see, except that it was bogus as the day is long. And as soon as I recognized what was going on, I get my butt over to the bank, made some very instant changes. It shut these people down. And the interesting thing is they had sent me so much email, so much junk, that I was able to print it out, get it over to the bank. They reproduced it and published it all over the bank, so that other clients knew what to watch for. That's the kind of thing we need to do, people. You have to be careful. You got to watch out, because we're getting screwed. We're either getting killed with fentanyl or getting killed online with insane emails. I got a note on my phone today that I knew was bogus as hell from the very get-go. And I just deleted it out. Didn't even contact them. Claim that they'd frozen my card. What was more interesting is the card number was similar to my regular card, one of my cards. But it's all garbage. Got to be careful, folks. These are the kind of things we'll try to share with you to help protect each other. And that, my friends, is what is so horribly important. So, I don't know, maybe in the course of this last 50-odd minutes that you actually did come out of there with a little bit of good news today, huh? Lord knows what we're going to do tomorrow. Coming up Wednesday will be part two of the piece we did on cancer last week, dealing specifically with prostate cancer. And I hope you'll join us for it. It's getting very, very interesting. And I'm also in the midst of working on a brand new 4-part series on cancer. And I hope you're going to be with us on it. Too much stuff going on. Stick around. Much more coming up before the night's over. We'll see you. God bless y'all. Thanks for being with us today. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett. And the Judas, this is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past.
ignorance and legitimate excuses. The rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. Dead skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Do do charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year. This is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take all my chances, say. I sang it 20 years and a day, there's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to woe, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.